Welcome to the narrow pod between pages where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Narrow Road Between Desires and then discuss it for a fresh perspective. The very first time. It clicked into place then. Bass's mouth went open in shock and admiration. "You didn't find it?" he said. "She told you." "What? Who?" Costrell's expression was shocked and innocent, and while he'd made a good showing, it was still a mistake. Bass had been playing that game longer than the boy had been alive. To his credit, Costrell knew he'd been caught out and immediately abandoned the act. "I got you, though," he said, eyes glittering with joy, his expression far more innocent than any he might try to feign. Bass shook his head, blinking with genuine surprise. "You did an amazing job selling it," he said. I hope you turned a profit too. What did Emberly charge you for her bathing spot?" Costrell gave Bast a puzzled look. "Why would I buy it?" he said. "She wanted me to pass it off to you. She owed me a favor for that." Twice in as many minutes, Bast was shocked into silence. Costrell laughed at him. "Oh, come on," he said, rolling his eyes a bit. "You lot think you're so sly and secret, but you're not. At the end of the page. I'm Forever Vin."
I'm RJ.
I'm Patrick.
Aha! So it was contrived by Emberly and Costrell.
It was. And we have that word sly again that often Nathan wrote about recently.
Right. Yeah, and I think, again, that Bast means both meanings of the word, although Costrell may not.
Costrell may not. I like Costrell a lot. He's like, haha, I tricked. I assume he means by you lot, either Bast and Emberly or just adults in general.
Yeah, and I think adolescents or adults.
Yeah, and not that he, like,
knows he's Fae.
As in Fae.
Yeah. Right? Because that would be... Or does he know?
No, I don't think he knows.
It's not likely.
I don't think so. I think we have... It's hard to tell, but I really do like Costrell because he's having fun with it. And he did... Well, he did trick Bass, but he kind of played into the... Everyone's kind of happy in this scenario. Costrell feels like he tricked the kids. Emberly and Bass both got what they wanted. And a little bit of, you know, voyeurism on the side that they thought was voyeurism. And then it was like, TV, We all wanted to see each other all along.
Yeah, I mean, from Emberly's act, she dropped the... being startled and affronted that someone was watching her pretty quick.
I wonder what she owes him now. What she owes Costrell.
Oh, I hope that comes up on the next page.
She owes him a favor now.
Yeah.
That's pretty cute. I do wonder if Emberly picked Costrell out specifically for this mission.
It kind of seems like it.
Yeah. He's the village... gossip, maybe, or just...
Well, he's clever.
He's clever.
And, he's smart enough to be able to handle this racket. Because, it seems like it's, like, a bunch of, like, shifting and trading of obligations are going on here. You know, like, a lot of, I owe you this, and you owe me this for this and this. You know, I mean, there's much to keep track of.
Yeah, and the physical feeling that Bass got from... lifting that tiny bit of obligation was interesting by giving Costrell the book.
It is interesting. It's a really good point, Pat. Like the whether that physical feeling is solely something that any individual might experience from the relief of having obligation taken off of them versus any sort of metaphysical or magical import.
I think it's definitely a magical faith thing.
You're saying, okay, so that's what you're shooting for. You're saying it's,
yeah,
it's like a level of fae.
Yeah, not even necessarily like if you in general for fae, but I think if, especially since it happened at the lightning tree at that magical place, and it was within the terms of a deal, that it was definitely some magical obligation that he had for Kostril, even if it was just a little bit of, you know, I need to let you borrow a book.
And then some of the load was taken off in a magical sense, right? The release of obligation was a physical manifestation in his body. That's cool. It's weird though, because I can tell you that in reality, you know, when I have obligations and they are resolved, there is almost a physical sense of relief.
Mm-hmm.
When you know you have like oh god, that's over with, right? All right, I've taken care of that. I've certainly felt that relief of that obligate, like, you know, striking that check mark off the list of obligations of things to do, or no more do I have to be responsible for this situation. You know, I've done this. So whether it's implied through magic or just the fact that it really feels that way, both things are,
yeah, worth, I mean, noting. I think it could be both, but I definitely think there's a magical.
I definitely think you're right, Pat, for sure. I was just commenting on how,
yeah,
the verisimilitudinous of it in our own lives.
For sure.
I never think you're right, Pat.
That's fair. It's fair. Someone needs to think I'm wrong. I love the
way you delivered that line.
That's fair. That's fair. I deserve that.
I gotta keep you lads on your toes.
Keep us humble. I
wish that in the second paragraph here, the line, Bast had been playing that game longer than the boy had been alive. Like, obviously. Well, I mean, I guess, okay, if you're reading the book for the first time, you don't know that Bast is older than he looks, but I think it would have been more fun if he had put in like 10 times longer or something like that, instead of longer than the boy had been alive.
Mm.
Yeah,
because that's just like definitely an understatement.
Right. Yeah,
it would have been. In my mind, Bast is like 150.
Yeah, like certainly Rothus could have put a finer point on it.
How old do you guys think Bast is?
In our human years?
Yeah, I'd say
he's definitely over 100. How old he actually is? I don't know. I'd say 150 is a good guess.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that ballpark. I
don't know. But
honestly, like, anywhere from like 100 to 200 years old.
Seems youngish to me. Yeah.
I mean, certainly younger than Florian.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's thousands of years old.
Yeah, because she's older than Faye. She's older than the Creation War.
So that's the thing that I don't, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around, because, you know, once you get to be older, it's like you start developing wisdom, and, you know, like just to be 150 years old, it's like you've seen so much stuff. Like,
yeah, but the Fae are so much different than people. You can't project our morality or our aging or anything on them, really.
I hear what you're saying. You know, they're clearly different, as has been described in the novels. So this is where, like, maybe fantasy and reality start to break. Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, like, you have to use your imagination,
right? I mean, if you're reading Tolkien, some of these fellows are, you know, the elves. You know, some of the great elves are around for a long, long time. Not mm-hmm. to mention, like, the Maya, or, right? Yeah. Like, all the big guns. I know right. Some of my big Tolkien words.
And we got Tom Bombadil, who they're like, yeah, I don't know. He was just here when we showed up. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
We got the Tom Bombadil. Controversy. Are you guys in favor of Tom Bombadil or against Tom Bombadil?
Yeah, I think he's great.
Some Tom Bombadil.
I love some Tom Bombadil.
Yeah.
He's an unexplained like powerhouse. Like, he's great.
Yeah.
So before we get too mired down in the weeds,
getting Adillo, lost in the Tolkien verse,
we will troll along to the next page of Lillo.
Troll along to the next page of Willow.
No.